This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ عباده المؤمنين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولوطا إذ قال لقومه أتأتون الفاحشة وأنتم تبصرون. صدق الله العظيم. So in the previous segment we concluded on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed those people who plotted to assassinate Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam, and likewise the disbelievers, and ultimately the believers and Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam were rescued from them, and Allah granted them victory and deliverance. And Allah says in the Quran, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that the good end will be for the pious. So in this world, things will happen. The Arabic proverb is, right? فَسَوْفَ تَرَى إِذَا انْكَشَفَ الْغُبَارِ أَفَرَسٌ تَحْتَ رِجْلِكَ أَمْ حِمَارِ. Now it's very dusty, so the sight is blurred and obscured. So you know, people doing wrong can also be very camouflaged and they can disguise themselves. But when the dust settles, and the final result comes out, you will realize, were you mounted on a horse or on a mule? Now it looks, it's all fine. You know, people, you go for safari drives at night, and if you don't have a keen eye into animals, you would see any four-legged, huge size. You're going to think, oh, you know what? I think there's some game, or there's this animal. But then only to know it's a donkey. And nobody's excited to see a donkey. You want to see the big five. You want to see this. You want to see that. Nobody wants to see a donkey, right? But outwardly, apparently, because of the cover of darkness, etc., you just seen movement. You've seen a tail. You've seen a head. You've seen grazing. You heard a sound. You would assume that, you know what? This is a zebra. But then, as you get closer and you shine the light and you dazzle the animal in terms of the gaze, that's the time you realize. So the proverb is, فَسَوْفَ تَرَى إِذَنْ كَشَفَ الْغُبَارِ أَفَرَسٌ تَحْتَ رِجْلِكَ أَمْ حِمَارِ. In the world, a lot is happening, man. You could distort things, and you know what, a person is lying, he's cheating, he's fraudulent, and then, he's probably going for Umrah, and now he's clad in these two garbs, mashallah, and oh, wow, this guy is good. And we're not passing judgment, but what I'm saying is, outwardly, what are the operations? In the eyes of Allah, He knows everything. He knows everything. By a circuit around the Kaaba, that won't overlook and pardon the wrong that you've done to people, the hurt that you've caused to people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these stories in the Quran to give us guidance and direction, in the end, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, the final good end is for those that fear Allah. May Allah make us from amongst those people who fear Him. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Okay, we move on to yet another story in this chapter, chapter 27, Surah An-Naml. And this time now, it is Lut alayhi salam. A very brief discussion of Lut alayhi salam in this chapter. In fact, the juz, Juz 19 gets concluded with the story of Lut alayhi salam. So not the surah. The surah continues into the 20th juz, and of course comprising of 93 verses. We're currently on verse 54. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala convey to us in the tale of Lut alayhi salam? وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةِ. Verse 54. And remember when the Prophet Lut alayhi salam qala, said لِقَوْمِهِ, to his people, أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةِ, do you behave immorally? Do you commit a shameful act? وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ, while you witness its shamelessness. While you witness its shamelessness has two meanings. بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا إِنْهِمَاكًا فِي الْمَعْصِيَةِ, where you literally, vividly, visibly, outwardly witness one committing the act of immorality with another. Or it means where you witness it with your heart. Verse 55. Now we do know and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes immorality. Islam's, if a person has to summarize Islam in two words, It is a faith based on simplicity and morality. So about Islam, everything needs to be modest, modest. Allah loves modesty. Be bashful, be modest. Have that sense of haya and modesty. Allah loves that. The whole Quran is replete, and all the prophets is modest. Islam, the garb of a woman is modest. People speak about Maryam radiallahu anha. We, of course, from an Islamic perspective, but others from Christianity, everyone would agree that the dress of Maryam radiallahu anha was one that was concealing and not revealing, one that was modest and bashful. So in essence, our deen is modesty and simplicity. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that when you lose your modesty, then there's nothing to stop you. فَاسْنَعْ الْأَمَرْ بِمَعْنَ الْخَبَرْ. Then there's nothing, because Allah has created us such that we feel guilty. We are creatures that feel guilty. So when our parents, Adam and Hawa, ate from the tree, and they were told not to eat. And then when they ate from the tree, their clothing of Jannah was removed. And as soon as their clothing were removed, their instinct was activated. They started to cover. طَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا أَخَذَا يَلْزِقَانِ, as Jalalain writes. They started taking the leaves and they started covering themselves, concealing. That's human nature. So the Prophet ﷺ says that when you do not have modesty in you, then you will do anything. Now there's a deliberate campaign to break the layers of modesty. Islam tells you preserve the modesty. The more modest you are, the further away you are from sin, the more difficult it is for you to commit wrong. And the more immoral you are, the easier it is. I mean, think for a moment. Ali radiallahu anhu wants the ruling regarding the pre-discharge when being intimate with his spouse. So before reaching the climax, and then there is a discharge that comes out for a male, does that discharge result in ghusl being obligatory or wudu being obligatory? Now, it's a ruling. It's an academic ruling. It's a juristic ruling. And he wants to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the question. But he says, no, I cannot ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because as much as he's the Nabi and I need guidance from him, referencing my moment of intimacy with my spouse would be the moment that I'm intimate with his daughter. And modesty and bashfulness calls upon me to say that I cannot discuss this ruling with the Prophet of Allah, because as much as he's my Nabi, he's my father-in-law as well. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. O Muslim, that is our modesty with which we came. And today, you could have the whole family sitting together and watching things that are, so distasteful that one doesn't even have the words to describe how distasteful it is. And then he appoints Miqdad bin Aswad and he says, oh Miqdad, you ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and don't take my name. And when you get the ruling, then tell it to me. And he gets the ruling to say, no, ablution would suffice in this regard. And this is the pre-discharge, of course, as we refer to as midhi, the fluid that comes out, at the time of pleasure, but without pleasure. That's the academics. I don't want to go into the detail. Okay, so verse 55. أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِّن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. Do you literally approach men lustfully instead of women? Surely you are a group of people indulging in ignorance. Do you literally approach men lustfully مِن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ instead of women? بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. Surely you are a nation indulging in ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and provided man in this world sufficient room for the fulfillment of all his desires. But Allah has legislated it. Allah has legislated it. So the scholars say, وَضْعُ الشَّرِيعَةِ إِنَّمَا هِيَ لِمَصَالِحِ الْعِبَادِ فِي الْعَاجِلِ وَالْآجِلِ مَعًا. The entire deen is legislated around the benefit of humans. So Allah's knowledge is complete. He legislated and He created. So there's no inconsistency, disparity or dichotomy between the two. The very Allah who legislated, created. So He knows your temperament and He knows the rulings. He designed Islam in my interest and your interest, in this world and in Akhirah. وَضْعُ الشَّرَائِعِ وَإِنْ كَانَ لِمَصَالِحِ الْعِبَادِ فَإِنَّمَا حَسْبُ أَمْرِ الشَّارِعِ وَعَلَى الْحَدِّ الَّذِي حَدَّهُ لَا عَلَى وِفْقِ أَهْوَائِهِمْ وَشَهَوَاتِهِمْ. The ruling of Islam is in our interest as defined by Allah, and not in our interest as defined by us. That's the qualifying statement. So father tells his son, listen, I've got your money and I've got your investments and I'm looking after your interests. And it's all for you. I'm working for you, my son. All I got is for you. So okay, if it's for me, then give it to me. No. I cannot give it to you. I have your interests. Here it's junior versus senior. And the junior cannot relate to the wisdom and the vision and the maturity of the senior. And no father takes that money and gives it. In fact, the Quran says, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. That when a man passes on and he leaves behind minors, don't give his wealth to the simple-minded minors because at this stage they don't have understanding in comprehension and economics. فَإِنْ أَنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا. When you see any degree of maturity, transaction, they know that's the time you hand over the wealth to them. And in Bayan al-Quran, under this it is written, فِيهِ عَدَمُ تَفْوِيذ. We learn from this here as well that you should not be giving posts to people who are not deserving. The wealth belongs to this orphan, but the Quran says don't give it to him when he hasn't yet matured. So what I was saying to you, Islam is designed in our interest. And let me share this with you in an added point which Imam Shatibi has written, that الشَّارِعُ لَا يَقْصِدُ التَّكْلِيفِ بِالشَّاقِ وَالْإِعْنَاتِ فِيهِ. Wow. Islam by its nature and temperament, and Allah by His kindness and His mercy, never intends to make life difficult for any human. Hear me out, please, my brother. Just pause for a moment, my sister. Process my listener. Comprehend my viewer. What am I saying? الشَّارِعُ لَا يَقْصِدُ التَّكْلِيفِ بِالشَّاقِ وَالْإِعْنَاتِ فِيهِ. The deen by nature doesn't intend causing any pain or difficulty or discomfort to any person. In fact, there's a verse in the Quran that is very academic, and I've just studied this book recently, the Maqasid of Sharia. So Allah says, مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah doesn't intend any difficulty or complexity for you in religion. وَجْهُ الدَّلَالَةِ فِي هَاتَيْنِ الْآيَتَيْنِ أَنَّهُمَا تَدُلَّانِ بِعِبَارَتَيْهِمَا عَلَى نَفْيِ الْحَرَجِ فِي الدِّينِ حَيْثُ وَرَدَتْ كَلِمَةُ الْحَرَجِ نَكِرَةً فِي سِيَاقِ النَّفْيِ وَالنَّكِرَةُ فِي سِيَاقِ النَّفْيِ أُصُولِيًّا تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْعُمُومِ فَأَرْشَدَ ذَلِكَ إِلَى نَفْيِ عُمُومِ الْحَرَجِ فِي الدِّينِ صَغُرَ أَوْ كَبُرَ دُقَّ أَوْ جُلَّ. My word, this is just mind-boggling. Two verses. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Concluding verses of chapter 22, Surah Al-Hajj. Allah said there's nothing complex and difficult in deen. مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah doesn't intend anything difficult for you. وَجْهُ الدَّلَالَةِ فِي هَاتَيْنِ الْآيَتَيْنِ. The deduction from these two verses, أَنَّهُمَا تَدُلَّانِ بِعِبَارَتَيْهِمَا عَلَى نَفْيِ الْحَرَجِ فِي الدِّينِ, impresses upon us that in Islam in its entirety, nothing is complex and difficult. حَيْثُ وَرَدَتْ كَلِمَةُ الْحَرَجِ نَكِرَةً فِي سِيَاقِ النَّفْيِ. Grammatically, the word haraj, meaning difficulty, has appeared as an indefinite noun, which is preceded by a negation. I know this might be a bit complex, but the scholar will appreciate it, but just hear me out. It's preceded by a negation. And when an indefinite noun is preceded by a negation, then it comes to say that now, تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْعُمُومِ. It creates, it generalizes the meaning. تدل فأرشد ذلك إلى نفي عموم الحرج في الدين صغرا أو كبرا دقة أو جلة. Which means in Islam, in essence, there is nothing complex, difficult or challenging. That's the one side. Now, the second aspect to this here is لا نزاع في أن الشارع قاصد إلى التكليف بما يلزم فيه كلفة ومشقة ما. Nobody can deny that, the truth be told, that the laws of Islam do entail a degree of difficulty. I mean, you told me I cannot eat this. You told me I cannot indulge in this. You told me I must get up for Fajr. You told me I got to observe the fast in the month of Ramadan. I got to discharge zakat. I got to restrain my gaze. So obviously this comes with a challenge. So this is difficulty. While in the previous explanation, we refuted openly to say in Islam there is nothing difficult. So the scholars say, لا نزاع في أن الشارع قاصد إلى التكليف بما يلزم فيه كلفة ومشقة ما لكنه لا يقصد نفس المشقة بل يقصد ما في ذلك من المصالح العائدة. The truth be told, the aim of Islam was never to put difficulty upon you, but the aim of Islam was for you to achieve the discipline through the process. So a person, the analogy given, a doctor never intends causing pain to his patient, knowing very well he's going to cause pain. His aim is cure. His aim is not to cut him, take him to theater and to, you know, get an anesthetic and sedate him, or for a dentist to put him on the chair and then obviously, give him an injection. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. But if you ask the doctor, at no point does he ever intend discomforting the patient. But he does cause discomfort, because that's the process to the cure. The aim is not the dentist chair. The aim is not the theater of the surgeon. The aim is not the unpleasant medication. The aim is the cure. And the goal to that cure, or the go how to that cure, is this process. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends goodness for his servant. He intends discipline for his servant. And the truth be told, my brother and my sister, in the limitations of Islam is the true freedom. And in the apparent freedom of others, there is destruction. You look around you, the world says that alcohol is a free world. Drink, enjoy, party, indulge. Just look at the revenue it generates and look at the carnage it causes. Look at the breakup of marriages. Look at the accidents. Look at the pain. A drunk driver driving in the opposite life. Innocent lives have been lost and claimed. Tens of hundreds of people. So in your outward indulgence, there is destruction. And in the limitations of Islam, there is protection. So what did I say? Islam doesn't intend causing you any difficulty. Islam intends goodness. Yes, there is difficulty. And that's why the scholars say, Al-qastu ila al-mashaqqati batilun. We don't intend difficulty. You don't say, I want to fast tomorrow because it's a long day. No, I want to fast because it's the order of Allah. Not, I want to get up tomorrow and sit on the dentist's chair. No, I want to remove my rotten tooth. I want to go for my filling. And yes, the process is I'll have to go through that difficulty. But the object is not to sit there. That's just a springboard to what you want. I hope the point has been appreciated. Anyway, what was the response of the people? فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِّنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ. Instead of heeding the call of Lut alayhi salatu wassalam, they said, expel him and his people. Expel him and his people. They are a nation that are overindulging in purity. They too clean, they too pure. They too chaste, they too moral for us. So, أخرجوا آل لوط من قريتكم إنهم أناس يتظاهرون. So they intended expelling Lut عليه الصلاة والسلام, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled them, and Allah protected. And this is the mercy of Allah. When Allah's torment comes, then it will pinpoint and it will strike exactly whom Allah has decreed to be destroyed, and whom Allah has decided to be saved will be rescued. فأنجيناه وأهله. Allah says, we rescued Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam and his family. إِلَّمْ رَأَتَهُ, but his spouse, she did not bring iman. قَدَّرْنَاهَا مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. She was destined to be amongst those that remained behind, upon whom the torment came. وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا. وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا. And then we rained upon them a rain. But this wasn't a rain of mercy. Just like the wind that came to Aad, they thought in that was rain, when the wind blew. But فيها عذاب أليم, in that wind was ريحٌ, you know, a cloud came, and they thought from that cloud water will come. But it wasn't water that came; it was a punishment that was hidden in that cloud. تدمر كل شيء بأمر ربها. So Allah says a rain came upon them, but it was not a rain of water; it was a rain of stones. وامطرنا عليهم مطرا فساء مطر المنذرين. Evil indeed was the rain that came upon the warned nation who did not heed the warning, who did not heed the warning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then concludes the chapter by saying, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, قل الحمد لله. Say all praise belongs to Allah, that He granted deliverance to the believers and He destroyed the disobedient individuals. وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ. And peace and salutations upon His selected servants, according to the difference of opinion, either the galaxy of Anbiya or Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumas tafsir, the Sahaba. And if we take the latter view of Ibn Abbas, then it would be permissible to reference the companions also as alayhi salatu wassalam. This is an academic discussion. In essence, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the destruction of the enemies and for the protection of the pious and the noble. And peace be upon the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that note, Allah concludes by a question. Allahu khayrun amma yushrikun. Is Allah better? Is Allah greater? Or the idols which you ascribe to Allah?